horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Hour two, about 15 minutes in, and thanks to Fausto Gutierrez and to Jim Lawson. And it's funny, coming in was Kevin Kirstein, and Kevin was listening to me talk to Jim at the end, and you know, then actually had some corollary to the Woodbine situation that hits right here on the backstretch, including Dave Carroll, working for the Cassie Barn, and even son Declan, who was hoping to ride at Woodbine this spring and summer. And, I mentioned the Cassie team, and what did you say?
You know, they're so instrumental of, you know, their operation is when David has horses at fairgrounds over the wintertime. Usually a lot of those horses would end up going north to Woodbine. Obviously, they had the Turfway Park string with the Tapeta surface at Turfway, so a lot of those horses went back and forth from Woodbine or would go back and forth Woodbine to Turfway, and so now they're just in a holding pattern. The horses obviously have to run, so it's heartbreaking for Jim and all the people up at Woodbine, and Declan's been trying to ride up there this winter or this summer, I guess, and he's at Arlington now, which is good to see. At least he's going to be represented up there by Penny Finch Hayes, and so he's going to have some success up at Arlington, I would believe. But my heart goes out to those guys up at Woodbine.
Well, and it also, I mean, you've got I'm sure all the operations that have been down in Florida all winter, Barbara Minchel and Josie Carroll and Roger Atfield and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you've got a hatful that we're getting ready to, you know, they would run them their final starts and then head, you know, send them up there. Brian Lynch runs a bunch, you know, and then there's, you think about the people that were preparing their 2 year olds, including probably, you know, the Ontario program portion of this, and you know, what do you do with those in terms of restricted company? This is really hard to believe, without bringing up any specifics, individuals, I think I mentioned a Lawson a couple of weeks ago. Is it there's got to be some major owners and business people from, you know, that are involved that I would think have got, you know, some added pull with the provincial government that could, you know, maybe add some influence in here, but. They're at a standstill. It's obvious.
Yeah, it's just it's heartbreaking. There's no other way to put it. It's just hopefully it all gets, you know, figured out in the next month or so, and who knows.
Well, sooner than later, because every week and every page you tear off the calendar, you're, as Jim alluded, you're going to lose horses to to North American ovals, and you know, once guys get stalls at some, you know, lucky enough to get stalls, and obviously it's going to be a certain quadrant, you know, the third, let's call it, I don't know, maybe 40% of Eastern North America, from about Chicago, you know, swooping down here, Indiana, you know, then out to probably Delaware. I mean, draw a line and that pale of settlement, as it were, that, you know, where you're going to be within shipping distance of TO to get back home when the gates open. So it's a mess. I feel terrible. That's why I saw that piece yesterday that was in Blood Horse, I think, and Jim was quoted, and I reached out to him. So I'm glad we had a chance. Glad that you're here. And we had a couple of conversations from Breeders' Cup till now, and it, as always, when you work your way toward Derby Oaks, Kevin, there's twists and turns. And what's been your path in terms of horses that you've latched onto and then had to let go of, and those that sort of percolated and then maybe dropped off the radar and now back on the radar. Mandaloon is certainly in that camp. What's been your Derby experience till now?
You know, it's sort of interesting. This year, I think, is one of the more competitive Derbies that we've seen in quite some time. When Life Is Good ended up going off the Derby trail, who was obviously probably going to be a formidable favorite, you know, things really took a turn at the top. Then you have Essential Quality, who is a deserved favorite in this race, and obviously we saw him fight very hard to get by Highly Motivated in the Bluegrass. And then when Concert Tour didn't really fire in the Arkansas Derby, it just took a whole new, you know, meaning to the top echelon of horses. Which one of those top echelons are ready to improve? Which ones are sort of steady? Which ones are on the downside? And so I think just from an overall standpoint of this Kentucky Derby, and you mentioned Mandaloon too, who, you know, he was probably working better from all reports that I've heard of any horse going into that Louisiana Derby, and then he runs a bad sixth. And obviously, he's coming back to work very well for Brad. But I mean, what do you look at a race like that on paper, and how can you bet a horse after that type of effort? It's a very competitive Derby, and I'm very excited to see when all the field comes into Louisville and they get a gallop over the track, and then obviously this upcoming weekend's works, just to see who's really thriving over the track and which horses you probably can maybe draw a line through in your wagers.
What's been your sort of atmospheric feel, given that, you know, we were just here 7 months ago, and you've been here, you've been working with Darren how long now?
I've been with Darren, this will be my fourth year. I've been here 8 years total. Actually, today is my 8-year anniversary with the
is that right?
With the Twin Spires.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I love it. So April 19th was remind me, where'd you come from to land here?
I was, you know, I came down here in college and I wanted to learn about horses, and I started coming out here, skipping classes, going to the track in the mornings and coming in the afternoons, and I would sit in section 118 and I would sit out there and gamble while I would miss all my classes over at Bellarmine University, just a stone's throw away here from the track, and just fell in love with it and tried to weasel my way in any way
That's
I could
right.
to get into the industry, and bought the former HR director at Churchill a drink one night at the bar and ended up getting an internship 2 months later.
That's pretty funny. So being aggressive always pays off, and here you are.
Cranberry and vodkas do a blessing.
That's pretty funny. I talked to Darren earlier, and we were, I suppose, because we had Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, and you know the fact that we had to come back here, back to Kentucky, it sort of broke up. I mean, if there had been Derby and let's say Breeders' Cup had been in California, it wouldn't necessarily, for me, it there's the proximity, but it's not as acute. I guess because I was here for Breeders' Cup, and it sort of put the Derby, you know, the September Derby, you know, sort of off in the background, you know, mentally. It's funny. I was thinking about this on the drive. Literally since coming back from Vegas and NHC in February last year, I had a California Vegas. I've only been in really in two places. I've been in New York and Kentucky. There's the only two. Yeah, I've obviously traveled through Ohio, but I haven't been anywhere else except for, you know, here in Lexington and home.
Yeah, it's just been a whirlwind, I think. And you mentioned the Derby just 7 months ago. And, you know, it's the most, you know, the elephant in the room is we're so excited to have fans back at this year's Derby. It really didn't feel the same in September. And so, you know, obviously we did just do a Derby 7 months ago, and we probably could all use a little bit of extra time planning for a Derby. But I'm excited to have two Derbies in 7 months. Hopefully we never experience that again, but it didn't really feel the same without the fans. And now, you know, you mentioned Breeders' Cup being in Kentucky. And so that was sort of a nice, you know, thing from a horse racing fan perspective to have, you know, be able to see these horses in the mornings in November, because, you know, Breeders' Cup is such a monumental event. So glad that was able to go on in November. But I mean, I think Derby is sneaking up on people a lot more this year than it does in years past because of just having a Derby 7 months ago. And I think my phone has rang probably 10 times more in the past week than it would in a normal Derby situation, because I think the local media is now figuring out, oh, yeah, it's a May 1st Derby, obviously, so an early Derby, May 1, and we had Derby 7 months ago. And so I think it's catching up to a lot of people, and I think it's the coverage is going to be really hot and heavy over the next 2 weeks leading up into the first Saturday in May.
Well, of course, here in town, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. It does seem that, you know, the area has been devastated a fair amount. There's a lot of particularly restaurants and bars and such that appear to have disappeared, since a year and a half ago, or we'll call it 14 months, or are still waiting. There's one thing that really surprised me, and this started actually Saturday morning as I was making my way. I made it all the way to Richfield, Ohio. Drive-through only and curb service only, which I'm a little surprised at. And here, you know, I know you can sit down. There's quite a few outdoor tenting concepts that are working. I'm surprised actually at how affected on that front the town is right now.
And that's what I think is so important, to have fans back in the stands, because it's such an economic driver for the city of Louisville. Between the hospitality industries, with the hotels, the food and beverage industries, you know, everyone who's coming into town for the Kentucky Derby, a bucket list event for so many people around the country and around the world, and they want to experience the great city of Louisville. They want to experience our great food and dining options and stay at some of the premium hotels that we have around the city, and that didn't get to happen last year. And so that's what I think is so important, and hopefully in 2022 it's even more of a bigger party.
Well, and speaking of participating in Derby, let's talk a little bit about the weekend and really the last, I got done at noon on Friday. So, coming up on 72 hours since, these points discussed. And, the two big stories obviously came Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, with Concert Tour, basically declared out by Bob Baffert, even though he is here and galloping around in the mornings. And then the Joel Rosario to Rock Your World. I mean, those two obviously related storylines having as much effect as anything in recent weeks.
Yeah, those were sort of the two major points of, will Concert Tour run after that Arkansas Derby third? And, trainer Bob Baffert, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, probably just doesn't want to come to the Derby with such a question mark on a horse's last performance, which is, that's Bob's a six-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer, and that's a big reason why, is because he wants to come with a live horse that can win on the first Saturday in May. And Concert Tour actually trained at 7:30 this morning with the Kentucky Derby and Oaks contenders on the track, and he's pointing elsewhere, obviously, after that Arkansas Derby. And then Ron Anderson doing magic and getting Rosario back on Rock Your World, who I think is going to be even more of a top contender, especially if Caddo River for trainer Brad Cox doesn't end up going in the race, could really be a pace presence come the Derby. And that's going to be, I think, the next biggest storyline that we'll have over the coming week, is what will John Ed Anthony's Shortleaf Stable do with Caddo River? Will he run in the Kentucky Derby? Will he point elsewhere? That's still to be determined.
Well, and the have you seen this piece from Ken Spencer on WHS?
Let me guess, Midnight Bourbon.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Got loose after the work.
He just didn't want to get a bath. So what ended up happening, I didn't see it. I was over on the front side watching the work, and apparently when he was getting a bath afterwards, he was feeling pretty good of himself after that work, and obviously he should. He worked like a really good horse, and so I think he got loose from the groom and did a little couple of circles around in between the shed rows, Steve Asmussen stable next to Mark Cassie, and so he just did a little couple of turns and then got caught by the groom, and could have been worse, but hey, he was just feeling pretty good after that work.
Well, and he was feeling good before the work. He was very eager to break off, and whether Bajan rum was slow to get going, that's up for debate, I suppose. But he absolutely wanted to go, and it took almost, I don't know, it took about 10, 12 strides to get him to settle and get involved. But he wanted to go. He is a big, beautiful horse.
Oh, he's a gorgeous-looking horse. And I think that work probably, they were probably supposed to break off together. I don't think Midnight Bourbon was supposed to start behind, and Bajan Rum was getting a little full of himself. And so I think the rider was then forced to, you know, ask Midnight Bourbon to probably begin the work a little before he really wanted to. And then once they got settled in, I mean, it was a great work. And this is a horse who I think will go under a lot of people's radars because he isn't coming into the Derby off of a win, but he always runs his race. He's 7-for-7 in the money. He always shows up when he needs to. And he's going to be a big price in the Derby. And, you know, running second in that TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby, I think, was a very good effort.
Nice job getting the Twin Spires.
You're welcome. I'm a company man.
That was rightly done. Yeah. To go back to what to the effects of the concert tour declaration and the Caddo River decision, the official leaderboard that goes out daily with the, you know, with all the other training news and arrival news and so forth, and a per horse update. If you look at that right now, It still is maintaining Caddo River and Crowded Trade. Crowded Trade is not running unless something happens to Highly Motivated. So that would automatically move Get Her Number, who's sitting at 21. Technically, Get Her Number is in. And similarly, if Caddo River stays out, that gets King Fury in. And, it is interesting, Kevin, and I'm sure that they'll be as soon as these things are decided before the draw. It'll be interesting to go back and find those horses that made it into the field late like this, because there is some interesting history to those horses that were 25th on the list, you know, 3 weeks out, that suddenly made it in. And that'll be a fun discussion point, because McPeak is absolutely crawling out of his skin to get this horse in the race.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We ended up taking Crowded Trade off of the leaderboard late yesterday afternoon just because of all the reports that are coming out with Chad Brown wanting to point towards the Preakness, only wanting to run one of the two Clarovich stable horses in the Derby. Highly Motivated got to Churchill Downs this morning. No plans as of right now for Crowded Trade to even come to Louisville. So we took him off the list, which you said makes Get Her Number number 20. And then King Fury, who's been out trained with the Kentucky Derby contenders yesterday, was out a little bit earlier this morning. And Kenny McPeak is not afraid to run in the big dance. And then just outside of King Fury is Keep Me in Mind, who, looking in front of us, Steve, we watching his replay on the Kentucky Jockey Club, who ended up obviously loving the surface here at Churchill Downs, winning the Kentucky Jockey Club. Hasn't been in the best form lately, but they sound like they're game to run if they can get in as well.
Well, all it would take at that point is a hiccup from anybody else. And I also noticed when you did that update yesterday that a name with single points to his credit suddenly popped up behind Keep Me in Mind. Dallas Stewart, not out of it yet. Starring in My Dream suddenly is number 22 on the list.
I'll tell you what, Dallas, I love Dallas. He's awesome. But he's been, how close are we? How close are we? I'm getting lots of texts from Dallas. And so lots of constant back and forth, especially over the last couple of days when some of these horses have been dropping out. And this horse is pointing to run in the Pat Day Mile. But we know Dallas Stewart. He's game. You got to be in it to win it. He co-owns this horse. It's, you know, he's had so much luck with this mare, with how she's been producing some of her foals, and they've been really successful at Churchill Downs specifically. But he sounds like he's game if they can get in, and we'll see. It's going to take a couple of hiccups, but as we know in the Derby, anything can happen.
Well, there's your field update as of right now, and over the weekend, in terms of those that were close by, and all the videos at KentuckyDerby.com, the compilation of all the workout vids are available to everybody. The working lineup included Essential Quality and Mandaloon on Saturday, both of the Brad Cox entrants, and the increasingly mature Soup and Sandwich. And it's going to be very hard for me between now and next Friday, you know, not to be, you know, very supportive and very enthusiastic about Soup and Sandwich. But, you know, certainly people who have been listening since he debuted know that, you know, we've had plenty of conversation with Mark Cassie in anticipation of his career start, and I'm an open supporter of Mrs. Weber and Live Oak, and this horse is one of the examples of the difficulty of this field, which is looking at these talented late starters that are going to be making their fourth career start in a Kentucky Derby. And it has always been a mammoth challenge. And there's been some really good horses that have tried to do it and went on to big things, but it's a huge ask.
I mean, going a mile and a quarter in start number four, it's just, you said it best, and looking at this horse, you would think he's by Tappet just because of how gray he is in the flesh, but he's by Into Mischief, by a Tappet mare, regally bred, and like you said, rooting for Mrs. Weber is a pretty easy thing to do, and same with the Cassie Stable, and this horse is on that upwards trajectory, in my opinion, entering the Derby, but then you look and just say, does this horse have enough foundation in his previous races to win the Kentucky Derby? I don't know if he can win, but I think he's going to improve off of his last two races even and run his best race into that Kentucky Derby when he worked for the first time 2 weeks ago here at Churchill Downs. Assistant trainer David Carroll has never seen this horse work in person. And he called me right after the work. He said, man, that was really impressive. Went back and I talked to Declan Carroll, who worked the horse that morning. And he said, he just galloped out like a really classy looking horse, and so I think he's going to run his race in the Derby and improve off of his Florida Derby effort. It's going to be very exciting to see, and I just don't know if a horse like that with only three races of experience can go on and win the Kentucky Derby, but we'll be rooting for him.
Well, and that's the equation. I went through this the other day, actually, and I'll reiterate for everybody that hasn't had the PPs to look at in front of them. Rock Your World is in the same boat. And, you know, especially with the addition of Rosario, there was already going to be some things to like. I mean, a Santa Anita Derby winner, Florida Derby winners, Arkansas Derby winners, those are the three preps that in recent memory, in recent history, have been the most productive and the ones that get the most attention. You then fold in that people looking through these PPs are going to be seeing the only triple-digit buyer in the field, you know, those that are you know, going to be looking at DRF PPs. But he has got that same challenge. This is a Candy Ride out of the Empire Maker mare, very stout female family of the McAnally's, of Deb and Ron McAnally. And you got to have that same, you got to ask yourself those same questions. How do I support, you know, a horse making a fourth start? Helium, speaking of the Cassie barn, is also in the same situation. The added burden, it seems, of having, chosen to not prep since Tampa, an added, to me, question mark. And then you've got Sainthood as well. And now I think officially you can assume the Dream Shake, who is considering,
they're sort of on the fence. They're on the fence between the Pat Day Mile and the Kentucky Derby. And okay, I think a decision's going to come this week.
Very good. But those are your horses that will be making a fourth career start.
And just looking at those four horses too, and going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, the overall Kentucky Derby picture when it first starts, sort of after that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you look at and say, what region of horses is probably going to be the most competitive region? Is it Florida? Is it California? Is it the Midwest and Arkansas, even to, into Louisiana, or is it New York? And that's sort of what we look at each year, and especially leading into those final major prep races. You know, it's always usually between California and Florida. And in my opinion, I thought Florida was a little bit lesser competition if you look just pure numbers-wise this year on the contenders in Florida. And then so you leaned towards California when you had the Life is Good, who ended up having a hiccup. Then you had Concert Tour, and now you have Rock Your World. So I think just very overall, this group of horses from across the country are very equally matched leading up into this first Saturday in May. And, you know, a horse like a Rock Your World, a Soup and Sandwich with little experience, they're equal to some of these other horses with 5-6 starts under their belt numbers wise because of just the level of competition they've been exiting.
To go back, and again, this will also be something that we'll do. We'll undoubtedly, you know, pull out a list of horses that made, you know, prominent horses that made a fourth start in the Derby. And the two that come to mind for me, I'm obviously Curlin is the one that had the greatest success, not just down the road, but 2 weeks later, winning the Preakness. There was also the horse to me that nothing went right. And it's funny because I don't even know why I have the, I didn't pick him. I don't believe I may have had him in the mix, but Materiality, who ended up being very tragic and ultimately, you know, died young and prematurely, but Materiality may have been as talented as a Curlin. And not only was he being forced to, you know, try to win this race in his fourth career start, he ended up in the three hole and was absolutely just completely compromised being down in there. And then he didn't break great. And I think he ended up maybe fifth or sixth or seventh. I mean, he ended up running an incredibly good race, having tremendous talent, sixth, he ended up. And, you know, those are horses that, you know, that under a different circumstance could have come here and won it. You know, the three-start Bugaboo worked against them.
And even, you know, besides the three-start Bugaboo, look at a horse like Obesos. If you're not looking at starts, he has more than three starts, but he's been sprinting to begin his career. And usually if you see a progression of a Kentucky Derby type contender, especially recently, if they break their maiden going short, they'll probably go about a mile for an allowance race and then go into a two-turn stakes. This horse was sprinting for three starts, going 5.5 furlongs, runs in the Risen Star, which is now a mile and an eighth. So it goes from three quarters to a mile and an eighth, which in this day and age, for a three-year-old to do that and run as well as he did was pretty impressive. Then goes a mile and 3/16. And so he didn't really have any of that foundation, two-turn foundation under his belt before he was running in some of those bigger prep races going the two turns. And so I think, you know, a horse like that is very intriguing too because of not having so much two-turn foundation leading up into his last major prep.
Well, and, you know, to fold back into the prep avenue conversation, one of the things you're going to certainly hear is about, you know, that the Bluegrass has a chance, you know, given essential quality and highly motivated, you know, Latruska Monomoy Girl Act, which is really essentially the same kind of race. You look at that. I mean, that's going to certainly be held up, I think, and you know, could be very productive. Florida Derby is producing Known Agenda and Soup and Sandwich. You know, the Wood has got this funny situation with the two Todd Pletcher runners, where the horse that ended up second, Dynamic One, is the one being, I think, more widely fancied than Bourbonic, just because, you know, he ran such a good race, Dynamic One. I think he's being elevated in this direction. So, you know, it's funny, with all the talk about Helium not running since Tampa, don't forget that Hidden Stash was second to him in Tampa before moving on to the Bluegrass.
It's funny looking back at some of those last prep races. So the Florida Derby has produced 24 Kentucky Derby winners, the Bluegrass 23. And looking at the last Bluegrass winner to win the Kentucky Derby. You know who that was?
The last winner or the winner, last participant?
Last winner of the Bluegrass to win the Kentucky Derby. I was 2 years old. Hall of Fame trainer. I'm stumping Bick. This is great.
This is bad with the
right or wrong, Steve.
Oh, it was Nick. Okay.
Strike the gold.
Oh, strike the gold. Look at
it was
you.
The
it was
last
striking.
Bluegrass.
How about that?
Nick was in our office the other day, and he said, we were talking, running through the Derby, and he said, you know, I had the last Bluegrass winner to win the Kentucky Derby. And you don't think of that because the Bluegrass always produces, you know, top Kentucky Derby contender, Street Sense, who ran in the Bluegrass in 2007. But he was the last Bluegrass winner was back in 1991.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you had horses participate in the Bluegrass that have won, but including, what, Thunder Gulch 4 years later. But interesting. But he, you know, the winner portion of, well, Street Sense got beaten the Bluegrass.
Yeah, ran second.
And to Dominican. And, you know, that was on the synthetic, though.
Mm-hmm. Little asterisk next to that one. But that's something Essential Quality may have to overcome in this year's Derby.
We mentioned Hidden Strike is going to be a completely forgotten. Hidden Stash is going to be a completely forgotten horse in this, and he's been hitting boards, you know, with alacrity. Obisos to me is going to be. I hope he isn't going to be this, you know, this darling. To me, he's the natural underneath late runner. You know, to pick up a share and reverse tri key or superfecta key or, you know, that type of exotic player. But I think everybody's going to come to that conclusion.
As of today, April 19th at 10:45, he's this year's Mr. Big News for me. So we'll see in the coming weeks of if he ends up at being that one. But I agree. I think he's going to be a lot of those players underneath tri and super.
A couple other horses that we should just, since we're doing this, kind of, you know, dancing through and touching on that some that, you know, haven't necessarily been in the headlines. You know, you talked about Midnight Bourbon's resume with the board hits. Medina Spirits, you know, and it's going to be Baffert. And now what he's not going to be better than what? Sixth choice?
Yeah. I mean, he's forgotten about too. I think people are going to be so focused on Essential Quality being the favorite. And then there are so many of those other horses that really are going to be, you know, sort of the same price, but they're going to be, you know, really square numbers on the board. And, you know, he's a horse too. It's he always runs his race. He just runs into some pretty nice horses when he's been finishing second and third. And so, and Bob Baffert obviously knows how to win a Kentucky Derby or six.
Well, and you know, on that topic of where he'll end up in the betting, Essential Quality and Rock Your World. In fact, you know, Gus Alonso, as I was driving on Saturday, I guess I was already here, and Gus texted me after the word came out about Rosario, and he said, you know, there's a chance that maybe now Rock Your World goes favored. I think Essential Quality will end up, you know, being the champion and so forth. I think he'll be a slight favorite, but Rock Your World is going to be, there's going to be proximity there.
Oh, for sure. I think Essential Quality is 7-2, 3-4-1 range. And then Rock Your World will be right there at 5-6-1.
So Essential Quality and Rock Your World first. Then we've got probably you got the Pletcher factor and I would guess the Chad Brown factor for Known Agenda and Highly Motivated. Hot Rod Charlie. There's five horses at least. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's at least five horses. So Medina Spirit can't be better than sixth choice.
No, it's just look. He can't. He could be, you know, well into the double digits.
Got a 14, 16 to 1, 18 to 1 in that range, right?
It you would have to think so, just the way that how the betting would end up. Even if, you know, you're a 10 to 1 on the morning line, I think you would have to be north of that.
Well, you know what, and we'll go through this exercise during the week, and I'll also, of course, we'll have Nick Tamaro, and Nick and I will do our quadrants. Let's actually run this down and see what your line, what your, if you're making your own line. Let's see what we've got.
Oh, God, that's dangerous.
Well, and don't worry about, don't worry about the Marcus Hirsch is not listening and adding up the points.
How do we know that? I sort of get the inbox of tweets from Marcus from time to time.
Well, because he's apparently got a basketball game mid-morning that he goes to. Because he told me the other day, he said, he couldn't come on Friday. He said, I've got to do this. I got something I'm on deadline for something. And then I've got basketball. So he's probably playing basketball at this time. But essential quality, you think 7-2?
7-2, 4-1, I would say.
Which would get us, we'll do it in order of, rather than, free forming it, let's do it in order of the point system. Hot Rod Charlie.
I'd say 8 or 10-1. On the morning line.
Fourth choice?
Probably fourth.
Or fifth.
Yeah.
Even. Superstock.
Arkansas Derby winner who was a big price. I mean, you can't put him, he has to be double digits.
He has to be 10. Double digits. He's got the moderate figure.
Yeah.
He and Medina Spirit and Dynamic One in the same range, three?
I would say they're all in the same range and probably Soup and Sandwiches in that range, too.
Somebody in that group will end up being a bit of a mojo horse and will come down toward 11, 10, 11, 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will catch a wave. Like the King.
50-1.
Yeah. Known Agenda.
I'd say he's...
Third choice,
8-1.
That feels about right. Rock Your World, though.
I'd say he's probably six.
He could be closer. He could be 5-1. It depends.
Yeah, it depends if Mike Battaglia makes essential quality 7-2, between 3-1, 7-2, 4-1. I think that's going to all make a big difference of where a Rock Your World, he'd be 5 or 6.
Bourbonic.
Oh, God. He's not going to be 70-1 again, but... He's got to be 20 to 30-1.
The number that pops in my head is 27, 28-1. But I mean, do you agree that Dynamic One goes off shorter than him?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, he has to.
That's what I thought too. Medina Spirit, we have a
alluded,
kind of group, a
yeah.
teens group.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Spirit.
Teen Spirit.
Smells like Teen Spirit. Midnight Bourbon is in that range, right? 20?
He's probably in the high teens, low 20s.
Yeah, that feels right. I feel Mandaloon.
He's probably in the mid-20s.
Feels about right. Good job. If Caddo River Runs.
He's 30-40.
Highly Motivated. Fourth choice?
I'd say it's probably going to be a second, third, fourth, all those horses are going to be running around a digit or two off, I would
Six,
say.
8, 10-1, mm-hmm. in that grouping. Helium.
Oh. 40-50-1.
I'd say 38-42 in that range. Soup and Sandwich, we already established. The teens, Dynamic One teens. Sainthood.
He's in that 40-50-1.
Yeah, got to be. Hidden Stash.
Same. He's sort of forgettable, I think, for most people. So 40-50.
Dream Shake, if he runs.
I feel like it has to be 40-50. I think that's for all those horses that we're talking about. And then maybe the Obesos would be the next one in line that could get a little bit of play from that line. But he would still probably be in the mid to high 30s.
And Obesos.
Yeah, I would say that he's in that same range. It's all going to depend, I think, with Obesos of how many of those wise guys, players like me, are out there that are going to key him underneath, and would any of their money change over to the win side?
Well, that's the question. From the win side, as a win candidate, he's a flyer, saver punch. He's going to be – he'll be half of whatever. He'll be half of that as an exotic exotic tickets.
For sure. It's just going to depend on if any of those exotic players just end up throwing some money in the wind pool, too.
Get Her Number.
He's sort of that same 40 to 50 to 1.
Yep.
The way that the Derby is bet, I don't think you're going
to
see a
70, 80, 90 to
no,
one.
I don't think we'll just
doesn't
see it.
Doesn't happen anymore.
No.
And King Fury.
And he would be the same 40 to 50, but I think he would be the player in all of those grouping of horses that are going to be that number.
I agree that if you've got a group of six horses, you know, north of 35 to 1, he's going to be – he'll be the marker at the lowest of the high prices.
Oh, I completely agree.
That's... All right, there we go. So now all we have to do is determine who we're, you know, who we're picking.
Easy, right?
It's an easy game.
It's easy to do. Yeah, we
easy
know what,
game.
We know
easy
what value
game.
They're going to be. We just got to pick the right ones.
One thing I've been really remiss on is, and it's only because they were so slow to kind of come to hand, is this Philly group. Let's give everybody a rundown from your tracking on the Oaks side of the ledger.
Yeah, with Travel Column, who will probably be another top choice for trainer Brad Cox. Search Results for Chad Brown. Crazy Beautiful for Kenny McPeak. We have, you know, she is here on track. Pauline's Pearl for Steve Asmussen worked yesterday. Malatap for Todd Pletcher, who looks like a colt. She looks unbelievable on the track. Soothsay for Richard Mandela. Maybe we can get some more info from him later on in the program. Clarier worked yesterday for Steve Asmussen. Will Secret for Dallas Stewart and John Court and Willis Horton. That's a fun horse to root on. Millie Fwilly is what they call the they call her at the Bill Mott Barn. So whatever Kenny Mott says, we'll go with that one. Mraz for Michael McCarthy sounds like she's coming in late from California. Ava's Grace is here for Robertino Diodoro. Pass of Champagne arrives on April the 26th for George Weaver. Gosh, how do you say the Rob Atrus horse's name? Marajuka? God, I'm not Travis Stone.
Maracuja.
Yeah, whatever you just said. She's coming in from New York as well on the 26th. And then Competitive Speed snuck into the field yesterday with The Grass is Blue. Hasn't had a work back after running in April. So she's in the field for Javier Gonzalez is here at Churchill, made her first appearance over the track. And then coach for trainer Brad Cox, trained during the Oaks and Derby mm-hmm. training period this morning. Rick Cuber, a local guy. Really like to root for him. He's a fun character and good to see him with a top horse. And she's on the outside looking in, and they're chomping at the bit to be able to try and see if Coach can sneak into that field of 14. But besides that, there's some horses that are probably targeting the eight bells, like a Super Sensational or some other horses like that, that could, if there are any late defections, sneak into that top 14. But the Oaks field is different than the Derby field, as we don't really have a lot of question marks next to the fillies currently in the top 14 for the Oaks. We have a couple of question marks in the Derby field, and so there really hasn't been that much moving and shaking in the Oaks this year.
No, it's been steady, and from an impression standpoint, and Beautiful Gift is out, right? Beautiful Gift, we heard, was...
Beautiful Gift for Bob is out.
So cross Beautiful Gift out, and because there had been 13, so that's where Competitive Speed comes in as the bottom marker.
And they are so excited to run in this race, Steve. I can't tell you. They've been calling our racing office, our stall guy. They're really excited to get this filly in the race, and good for them. So we wish them the best of luck.
Well, and here, you know what she is? This is actually, you know what? In some ways, it's kind of cool. I'll tell you why. She will be the last. Yeah, she will. She'll be the last of the Calder two-year-olds. That group of babies that, you know, were housed at Calder that would go through the hottest part of the summer racing there. And racing in South Florida. I mean, there'll be others, obviously, that'll be from Gulfstream and Palmettos, you know, historically. But this will be the last Calder stabled runner at one of these big settings.
Easy to root for, then.
Yeah, yeah. And she's been okay. She, you know, third. She was third to Crazy Beautiful in the Oaks, in the Gulfstream Oaks, and she was third, beaten eight to Hole Bodemeister and Crazy Beautiful in that Devona Dale. It was too bad about Hull Bodemeister. You know, the horses that the fillies that are getting, you know, the post prep buzz, certainly past the champagne after, that maybe I'm not going to call it premature move by Castellano, but it was a strategy that normally might have worked out if there wasn't a Malathat, chasing behind. It was not a miscue from a riding standpoint.
No, you sort of had to make that move, I would guess. But exactly like you said, there was a Malathat chasing behind, and yeah, you can't had to do all you can to hold off her.
Well, and so there's a lot of people who thought they were going to cash in the Ashland that are going to come back for more here. And after that, it's Malathat, as you mentioned, is going to cut a swarthy figure. And for all that we talked about with the boys making a fourth career start, I am anxious to talk to Mandela, because his initial reaction, minutes after the Santa Anita Oaks, was, we're not interested. It's too much too soon. And yet, he must have been happy with the way she came out of it.
Yeah, she was a late supplement to the Oaks, so she wasn't originally nominated. Paid the $6,000, was a late supplement, along with Competitive Speed and a couple others in this race. And so, she's another one that, the Oaks isn't as big of a deal with a late resume going into a mile and an eighth race, but it's a different story going a mile and a quarter with the Derby. So two races under her belt isn't really as big if she was only going more than a mile and an eighth, but the Oaks is a mile and an eighth, of course.
Well, there is your opening day of coverage look at the fields for the Oaks and for the Derby. Kevin Kirstein, horse racing KK, and is baby making her first Derby?
Josie is coming out Wednesday of Derby week, will be her Derby. So I got her the Derby dress and all. She'll be out here on Wednesday.
Outstanding. Who does she have any early leans? Is there, are we going to let her, are we going to let her throw up on the program or anything?
No, but We're teaching her early. I took her to the backside last week, and so she was able to pet a horse for the first time. So she's learning early. Now we just need to take her to the betting windows. That's what's most important to me.
Too funny. And, of course, the most important question, where do you shake out on Eagles and on the move away from Wentz to Hertz?
We're going to be 500 at best. I hate to say it.
Well, you know what? 500 as an intermediate building year, and also importantly, I've got some of my Eagle brethren, Johnny in particular, that they've had it with Howie. They'd like to see Howie move on. Have you soured on Howie?
Yeah, I've soured on him all the time, and I think he just needs to. If he can't prove it in the next year, he just need to hit the road. I just don't know what talk about loyalty there. I mean, Howie hasn't been able to hit the road yet is just beyond me.
I see. I'm the eternally as somebody who went through some of the worst years in the franchise's history. I'm always eternally upbeat. So I.
Are we a trust the process with the Eagles now, like the Sixers?
I use that, and every time I use it with Joe Clancy, he gets annoyed, because he wants to stick a finger in my eye. He says, "Oh my God, stop!" Well, when they drafted Hurts and everybody was going crazy, I tweeted trust the process, and Joe was like, "Ugh, please.
We're over the process. The process is
Joel."
MVP.
Unbelievable. Yep. Well, yeah, you had to hear a little bit of, a little bit of Philly, conversation when KK swings through. Horse racing KK, Kevin Kirstein, everybody, and there you go. You're up to speed. Let's take a break. Top of hour three. Andy Serling is going to visit now. We'll get Andy in here with Mig, a COVID shot reaction scratch. I know exactly. He texted me this morning. He said, I don't think I can. I don't know if I can do it. He goes, I feel like I was run over by a locomotive. And I know what he's talking about. So Andy will join us. We've also got Phil D'Amato coming, and we'll see about Mandela. Usually, Richard, by about now, I usually hear from Richard by about 7:30 California time. although he's been there, you know, since five, but I usually hear from him at that point. We're here till, you know, through Derby. So, and on the radio Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, replay 6 to 9 on SiriusXM and at the website, stevepick.com. Back after this with Andy.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Pick on SiriusXM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Sirius XM Sports presents